Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians. I've entitled this study, Serve in Unity. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Love, forgiveness, and lawsuits. We live in a world where destructive conflict poisons many relationships. Parents abuse their children. Children despise their parents. Spouses dominate their mates. Politicians destroy their opponents. Even in churches, conflict tears congregations apart. It happened in the early church, and it continues today. As we have seen in earlier sessions, the church at Corinth was divided and tolerating immorality. Our text for this session reveals they were quarreling with each other as well. Christians were fighting with other believers in the church, and they sought to settle their disputes in civil courts. What did the disputes do to a watching pagan world? Quarrels between Christians repulse non-believers. The church must provide a model of for healthy relationships and a model for handling conflicts. Our text highlights five ways conflict hurts the church. First of all, disputes display the church's weakness. Verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? The disputes in Corinth demonstrated the church's inability to take care of conflict among members. They had to take their cases to pagan courts of the world. Suing another believer in a secular court is not pleasing to God. Believers are to settle issues between themselves within the church. So disputes display the church's weakness. Second, disputes deny the church's distinction. Verse 2, down to verse 4. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Paul declared that the church would one day be a part of judging this world and angels. Those in the church at Corinth should have known they were capable of judging things which pertain to this life. Verse 3, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If the church has the distinction of judging this world and angels, it certainly has the distinction of settling disputes among the church members. The church should be settling its own differences. So disputes deny the church's distinction. Third, disputes neglect the church's wisdom. Verse 5 and 6, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who would be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? Paul used a rhetorical question and sarcasm. Was there no one in the church wise enough to settle a dispute? The Holy Spirit dwelled in them as believers. The Spirit of God would surely be able to give wisdom enough to settle disputes. We have been so indoctrinated by this world system, its education, and its government. Someone wrote, never mistake knowledge for wisdom. Knowledge can help you make a living, but only wisdom can help you make a life. God's perspective on all that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and forward. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Going to civil court means we are neglecting God's wisdom. Fourth, disputes betray the church's calling. Verse 7, now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. The Corinthian Christians were called to be saints. They were called to share in God's work. They were called to shame the world by the quality of community life. But they were behaving like unsaved pagans. The Corinthians had moved away from love for one another, away from forgiveness of one another, away from sacrificing of themselves. It is better to be wronged by another Christian than damage the witness of Jesus Christ through a dispute displayed before unbelievers. The world must see a difference and be attracted to a sincere witness. It's kind of like an illustration I like to use of when people look at our lives, are they seeing a window or a mirror? Are they seeing our life as a window into God's kingdom where they can see His glory? Where they can see Christ operating in our lives? Or when they look at our lives, do they just see a mirror, a reflection of their own lives? Because you see, if it's a window into the kingdom of God, then they can be attracted. If it's a mirror, then they're just going to see what they already experience, and there's no reason, there's no attraction. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So disputes betray the church's calling. And then fifth, and finally, disputes contradict the church's nature. Verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The nature of the church is and will always be different than the unsaved world. God's people have a new nature because they have been changed by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, and this is the case for all of us as believers. Paul said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And that's because God loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us. He sent Jesus. He gave Jesus that we might have eternal life. And how is that love demonstrated? Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All we need to do is voice that conviction that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. But then you see, believing, we still need to reach out and ask. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, taking our disputes to the world before unbelievers, it betrays the changed nature of Christians and the Christian community. Getting along with one another is to be a distinctive mark of God's church. Conflicts will arise in the body of Christ. And when they do, God's people are to settle the disputes in a Christian manner in the church. The job of Christians is to help resolve conflict, not to keep it going or to start more. Let that sink in some. And you have a great day.